this morning as we come to encounters with God and lives change forever. Folks, do you ever just stop and think about your own life? How when you encountered God, that He changed your life forever? I hope you think about that. I hope you stop and think about it on a regular basis, because I think about it a lot. When God touched me and changed my life, and I think about how I love being, knowing I was one of His children and being in His presence. And then I kind of continued to feel that pull upon my life that God's probably going to want you to do something, brother, that you're not prepared for. And I'm thinking, no, we're not going to do that. And we're not going down that road. And yet I continued to feel that pull. And so what do you do when you're feeling a pull on your life? Most of the time, what do? You go down the opposite road, because you don't want to go by that house, because there might be somebody there that has a call on you. And it's the same way outside of real life. Folks, we turn left a lot of times when we should be turning right, when God is asking us to do things for Him. And He wants us all to be His messenger. I know you say, well, I've accepted Christ and I have a relationship with the Lord. That's wonderful. But what do you do throughout the week that people know that you belong to the Lord? You see, we have to let people know that I'm not only Mike Wimberly and I'm riding around on my scooter and I'm just having a big time. I want them to know that He is different. He knows who Jesus Christ is. I want them to know that there's things that that they need to know. I want them to be more like Christ than I am, because I'm not a good example of being like Christ, but a lot of y'all are. A lot of y'all do such a wonderful job of being like Christ, and y'all are my heroes. Y'all don't know. You think this is something that is totally crazy, because we don't do anything. Folks, I pay attention to everything every one of y'all do, and y'all do so good at being a disciple for Christ. So you got Isaiah, and Isaiah is probably the greatest prophet, and Isaiah is beginning to tell the people what God has in store for them. And so in the beginning, as the book of Isaiah starts, he's telling the people. And so then we see Isaiah talking about, how did I get to where I'm at? How am I going to be who I am? How am I going to tell people anything unless I have something greater than myself pushing me and telling me what to say? And so we see in the 6th chapter, the first through 8 verses, we see that God is talking to Isaiah, and He's going to touch Isaiah, and He's going to change Isaiah's life forever and give him the power to be the greatest prophet that ever was. And so let's just read the first 8 verses before we get into it very far. And it says, "And it was the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Attending Him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of the heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with His glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. And then I said, 'It's all over. I am doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, the coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here I am, send me. Think about that, folks, as we talk a little bit this morning. So, would you jump up right now and say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm ready to go. Well, no, you'd be saying, whoa, wait a minute, Mike, where are we going? You know. And so that's what we have to think about. Where are we going? And so we stop and we think about Isaiah. And he's saying it was the year that the king died. And he said, I'm thinking and I'm listening for the Lord, and he's speaking to me, and he is seeing this, all of this stuff happening in this dream. And he's seeing the mighty seraphim. And we're seeing that as he does, he sees that these seraphim, the angels, they have six wings. And so if you think, my gosh, he was having some kind of dream. He was really, really dreaming something really weird. Well, he wasn't, folks, because Ezekiel basically had the same dream. Ezekiel 1, he basically had the same vision. Revelation 4, 7 and 8, same thing we're hearing right here. If you read Revelation 4, the first of it. And then in Revelation 4, we see, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of the heaven's armies. Same words, same thing, same vision. Everything is the same. Folks, it is the truth. This is the reason. If you look at Revelation, you know, you'll see that he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the attributes of God. He's showing you who God is. And so here, it's the same things happening with Isaiah. He is being called, and God is showing him who he is. He's showing him that I am holy. Not only am I holy, but I am holy, holy, holy. Holier than anything, folks, that we will ever know or ever imagine. Now, can you imagine when we get to heaven and we're all gathered, and there's these seraphim there that have these six wings, and they're all right there around the throne. Can you imagine what kind of sight this is going to be? Beautiful, beautiful sight. But we're going to be worshiping God all day, every day. Oh, Mike, you mean all day? It's going to be all day, every day? I'm not sure I want to go. Oh, you better be sure you want to go. Because you're not going to like the other deal at all. There's not but two deals. There's not but two doors on Price is Right. Now, or Let's Make a Deal, or whatever that was we used to watch. And you might be better with the first one than you are the second one. So, folks, we see this. And we know that God is trying to tell Isaiah that these is the greatest. It says that when they spoke, they shook the foundation of the temple, and the temple filled with smoke. Can you imagine being there and seeing such great power, such awesome power that was there? But Isaiah, as he was there, he would be just like Mike Wimberly would be. I would have been just like him. I'd be saying, I'm doomed. It's over. I'm done. I'm going to tell you, Brian, I mean, this is it. I can't believe that we're standing in the middle of this, and I'm such a sinful person. Folks, that is me. But what happened? One of the seraphim picked up a coal, and he touched his mouth, his lips, and he said, you are forgiven. You see, God, an encounter with God. This was God. This was not a coal, a piece of charcoal or something that they had. Yes, it was. But it was God that cleansed him. And this is what's so important, this encounter with God. As we encounter God in lots of different ways, folks, you will encounter God in ways that I may not. You will see God at work in ways that I will not. And I have been blessed. I've been blessed to see God work in my life and in others' lives. I have truly been blessed. And when I see this work in other people's lives and God working in them, and they, a lot of times they don't know it at the time. I see it. I know it. I can tell what's happening. I think Brian will tell you too. He sees this work in other people's lives and knows God's touching them. It's not just grabbing you and bear hugging you all at once. He's touching you in small ways. And he's bringing you to where you need to be in this relationship with him. And once we have this encounter with God, then what happens? We are changed forever, folks. We are changed forever. But if you look at Isaiah, we see the same thing in Isaiah that we read for the pouring of the water. And that's what I was looking at this morning early when I decided to use that for the pouring of the water. Because when we see Peter really and truly recognizing who Jesus is and recognizing that Jesus is here with me. I'm right here in the presence of the Lord. Folks, we are as well. We're right in the presence of the Lord. And Peter is saying, Lord, I have let these nets down and you fill my boat and the other boat. We are so blessed. So blessed. Lord, you not only did you want me to recognize you as being Lord, you knew I had a need. I wasn't out here fishing tonight just because I wanted to be fishing. I'm out here trying to make a living. I'm trying to take care of my family. I'm trying to help others. And you've not only done that, you have blessed me above and beyond. Peter was so astonished when we read the scripture a while ago that he just dropped everything. He was so amazed. He dropped everything and followed Jesus. If it came today to us dropping everything and following Jesus, would we? Would we? I don't know. I can't. I would like to say I would. I could. But you know what? If it means giving up everything to follow Jesus, would we? I would like to think we would, folks. If we had a vision like Isaiah had, we knew that God was with us. Like Peter, God is right there with us. Jesus was standing there right with Peter. Would we follow him? He didn't offer him 100 or 200 or 300,000 a year to come go with him. He just said, come on, we're going to learn how to fish for men. And whatever needs you have, I'll take care of it. You won't be hungry. Well, first thing he'd had to done for me was we'd have had to found some chickens or something because I don't eat them fish. So there we'd have had a problem. But I bet we'd have found something. Or I might have learned to eat fish if I got hungry enough. So, folks, we see Jesus taking care of each and every one of us. You see that when you allow God to touch your lips. What if Isaiah had said, he seen the seraphim coming, and he'd have said, oh no, you're not touching me. You're not touching me with that live coal. What if he'd have realized that what was fixing to happen, and he knew what was going to happen. It was going to be burning, and it was going to be hard to deal with. What if he backed up from this? We would not have had this prophecy. But Isaiah listened. He listened to everything the Lord was telling him. Everything the Lord was asking him to do, Isaiah was willing to do. And he said, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Folks, that's a big, big statement when you tell the Lord to send you. I don't guess ever said, Lord, just send me, send me, send me. I went kicking all the way. Just like an old mule in a stable kicking against a wall. I kicked all the way. And then one day, I said, Lord, I can't continue to kick against you. I can't continue to do everything I'm doing against you. Lord, whatever it is you need me to do for you, you tell me. I don't know what it is. You tell me. I'd stopped at an old four-way stop up there on the old Paris and Murray Road that morning. And I'm sitting there, and I don't know if there's anybody behind me or not. Wasn't too much traffic up there early one morning. And I said, Lord, I can't continue to live like I'm living. I'm the most miserable person in the whole free world. Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing. Little did I know that this was going to take place. And you're saying, well, you sure he called you to this, Mike? Because I'm not sure he did. And I know that's what we think a lot of times. But this is where I ended up, folks. And it's nothing that I done, not one form thing. But God, in his time, in his way, placing us where he would have us to be. Encounters with God, life's changed forever. Isaiah's life was changed forever. He went out telling the people how corrupt they were. Folks, you think we're living in a corrupt world right now? Yes, we are. We are so confused and messed up, and we are so just everything you want to think of. We're pitiful. We're a pitiful bunch of people. But that's what Isaiah was. It was a pitiful bunch of people. And Isaiah was telling them, folks, let me tell you who you are. Y'all are into everything, just like America's into everything today. Everything but God. Everything but doing things God's way. And people tell me all the time, Mike, I know that's probably not just exactly right, but that's not very much compared to what everybody else is doing. True. Maybe it's not in your eyes. Maybe it's not compared to what everybody else is doing. But is it what God would have you to do? No. Not at all. Not at all. It is not the way you should be living your life. And folks, we all, Mike Wimberly, the biggest one, we all make excuses for what we do. For everything we're doing, we have an excuse for it. Everything. If I'm working extra, doing anything like that, and I could be doing something else for the Lord, oh, I'm just playing. I'm just having fun. I'm just getting me a little walking around money. Yeah, really? Really? No. Really and truly, it's because what? We want some more money. We're not playing. We're not doing it because we're having a good time at it. I'd rather be fishing with Dan. But I'm working a lot of times. And it's because I want more money. Not that I've got to do it. I do enjoy it. Most of the time, I really enjoy it. And sometimes I do it and I don't even want any money for it. I just want to do it. But that's the thing, folks. When we see people that has needs, when we see people that has a need that day, it doesn't matter if that's a rich man or a poor man. I got a call a couple of mornings ago from a rich man. He said, Mike, I need you tomorrow. I said, okay. That would have been Thursday, call Wednesday. I said, okay. I was, in my mind, I would not have taken a dime from that man. Ended up, I didn't help him, but I thought I was going to. He had money to pay me, but that's not what I should have been doing. I said, okay, I'll help you. Folks, we have to stop and think sometimes there's things that God wants us to do. There's things that he calls us to that you don't think it, at that given moment that's got anything to do with God. But it does. The example you're setting, that what they're seeing, how they're seeing you, how they perceive you to be, And if you're not careful, we as Christians that sat here on Sunday morning, sat in all the churches throughout Henry County on Sunday morning, if we're not careful, we're no different than the ones that's out here in the world, because we get caught up. We get caught up in this world so much. Folks, it's very, very hard when God asks you. When God asks to do something, asks you to do something, He asked me to do something. It's very, very hard to say, okay, let's go. I was just waiting. I was sitting here waiting on you, Lord. I just sitting here waiting for you to tell me what you got for me to do. No, we're not. We're filling our days with what we want to do. Our selfishness. We're filling our days with things that we desire. We're filling our days, folks, with just folly. We're just playing when we could be working for God. I just want you to think about, what in the world are you doing for God? I want you to think, has God touched my life? Has God touched me in a way that I have been changed, and I have been changed forever? Because it took Isaiah, folks, realizing that he was a sinner, realizing that he was messed up. It took Mike Wimberly realizing that he was a sinner, that he was messed up, before he realized that he needed Jesus Christ. And then once Jesus Christ touched us, we're never the same. Folks, I hope each and every one of you have a testimony, a story to tell, that once Jesus Christ touched me, I was never the same. Folks, the greatest thing in the world is, we sung that song a while ago, is to behold your Lord. That is awesome. And it is the most wonderful thing in the world when you can sit and tell others how you allowed God to touch your life, and how you was changed, and how you live a different life today than what you used to live. But the main thing, folks, it's not that you can tell someone how you live, but they can see how you live. They can tell that you're a different person. And without them being able to see it and tell it, you really don't have a story to tell. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.